Moving along to House Bill 1049, an act to authorize circuit courts to adjudicate paternity and establish custody in notice of support debt proceedings.
Thank you, Chairman Whiting.
Proponent.
Welcome to Pierre. The first time we've been on this side of the legislature this year. This bill got through the House relatively easily, so it got here quickly. I welcome both the veteran lawmakers and the new faces to our fair city. For those of you who don't know me, my name is David Brown. I'm Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Social Services Office of Child Support Enforcement. House Bill 1049 comes before you, as I would characterize, as corrective legislation. For those of you that were in the legislature a few years back, you'll recall that we passed a massive act known as the Welfare Reform Act. It was mandated by the federal government. It's been very effective in South Dakota in reducing or eliminating, removing people off the welfare rolls and getting them into a work environment. One of the federal mandates that was part of welfare reform was essentially states were required to create within their statutory scheme a presumption of paternity when DNA or genetic testing analysis established a 99 percentile or higher likelihood of paternity that the individual was the father. Additionally, welfare reform required that once we had the presumption of paternity, the Department of Social Services was required to pursue the individual for the immediate establishment of a child support obligation without any further actions to actually judicially establish paternity. We accomplished those federal mandates through a notice of support debt statute, which is referenced in the bill. But essentially, since that time, two problems have arisen that we've identified that this legislation seeks to correct. First of all, even though we have a presumption of paternity with 99 percentile or higher genetic test results, and we seek to establish a child support obligation immediately at that point in time against a responsible parent, the current statute does not allow the circuit court, when we obtain that order, to actually designate a primary custodian of the child. The problem that has arisen throughout various areas of the state, and we've been contacted by East River Legal Services and other individuals and entities, is that without a designation of primary custodial parent, oftentimes one of the parents will end up with a child. For instance, they may have a support obligation pursuant to the notice of support debt. They may have a visitation arrangement, and then one of the parents fails to return the child to the what we would say is the primary custodial parent. In that situation, law enforcement and other agencies have been very hesitant to get involved without an actual court order designating who is a primary custodial parent of that child. The second shortfall of the legislation that was passed that we're trying to correct is adjudication of paternity. Again, along the same lines or same vein, even though there is a presumption of paternity under current state law and we establish or seek to establish a support obligation, the actual order entered by the court does not adjudicate the paternity of the child or indicate that so-and-so is the father of the child. The problem arises because unless there is an actual adjudication of paternity within a court order entered by a circuit court, the individual cannot place the father's name on the birth record. And that creates a lot of problems currently and down the road for the child and the parents. Essentially, the bill is pretty straightforward. All we are asking, and these are circuit court orders, they're not administrative orders entered by the department. A circuit court will enter them, a circuit court judge, based upon the notice of support debt. We're asking to correct the current statutory scheme to merely allow a circuit court as part of these proceedings to designate who the primary custodial parent of the child is. And in most instances, that will be the mother, not all but most. And also then to actually enter adjudication of paternity instead of having this presumption out there forever without an actual adjudication of paternity. I'd be happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Any questions for Mr. Brown? Senator Dugard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to address a question that was addressed to me, and I'll phrase it exactly as it was phrased to me, and maybe it's self-evident. Since child support issues are going to be dealt with, and since it's now simpler to do, we feel it should be mandatory by state law that child support is not paid until paternity is established. Would you respond to that?
Could you repeat that, please?
Since this is, again, a constituent, since child support issues are going to be dealt with, probably in seeing this bill come forward, and since it is now simpler to do, we feel it should be mandatory by state law that child support is not paid until paternity is established.
Well, essentially, Senator, what we have is the scheme that currently exists, as I indicated previously, is the Notice of Support Debt Statute, okay? And the way the process works currently is there are various presumptions under state law, and they arise either by a party signing a birth certificate at the time of the child's birth, or there are genetic test results of 99 percentile or higher, 99%. We use DNA testing lab out of Brookings as our sole laboratory here in South Dakota. Now, the mandates that we've got from the federal government, which our program funding basically relies upon, is that once one of those two presumptions arise, the state is required to immediately establish or seek to establish a child support obligation. Essentially, that's what this bill or the prior legislation did. Now, I'm not sure of the concern of that particular message, but I think that the bill itself actually goes to the heart of the message, because the shortfall of the current legislation is that there cannot be an actual adjudication of paternity as part of this process. We get a 99% percentile higher DNA result. We go ahead and serve the notice of support debt, giving the opportunity to the individual to request a hearing and present evidence or testimony as far as child support obligation. And we have a presumption of paternity out there, but we don't have an actual adjudication of paternity. Essentially, what this bill tries to do is to correct that by saying, not to eliminate that presumption, say there is an adjudication of paternity in addition to a support obligation, then we can get that father's name on the birth record. So if I understand the question, I think this bill is geared towards hopefully correcting a portion of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Senator Getzel.
Yeah, Dave, I'm just kind of curious, if we've got something where it's not contested, all right, and now you're saying in order for everything to be legal on the up and up and everything like that, we're just going to have a judge sign off on this, so in essence they've been adjudicated.
Correct.
Now, it also, the way I read this, is that cost is forwarded, if you will, the cost of that procedure and everything involved is forwarded to that parent. What's the average cost?
What do you mean by
cost?
Well,
because it says here, it goes in and talks about how the court shall enter, and then it goes on, the court may also enter an order of health, genetic costs, adjudicating the parenting and establishing custody of the child. There's a cost involved, and that's going to be passed on and included in a child support payment type thing. What's that average cost?
It's hard to give you an average, Senator Kessel, but I can tell you basically under the current statutory, it's going to be based upon the incomes of the parties, because you're going to have a child support obligation established under the guidelines that's based upon both parents' incomes. So you're going to have a child support obligation.
I'm curious about this particular proceeding, whether it's just taking a paper into a judge and he just signs off on it so that you can go ahead and proceed. What's the cost for that? I understand the child support payment schedule and all that, but for this particular proceeding, what's the cost going to be to an individual?
Nothing, as I said. Nothing will change. Basically, if it's a default order where the individual doesn't respond, we will just prepare the order and have the judge sign it and file it and serve the person. I'm not sure. I hope that – I'm not sure that
no,
addressed.
I
don't see any additional cost
so
as a result
no
of this bill.
Okay.
Any further questions? Senator DeHuig.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Patty.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand
sure.
what you're doing as well. And maybe at least for my benefit, if not other members on the committee who don't deal with this on a daily basis, you could explain how this works in terms of practical time limits and the action taken by the Department of Social Services. Let me give you a what if. Okay, a baby is born to a woman, and the couple is not married.
Okay.
She leaves the hospital and immediately comes to social services and says, I need help. I can't afford to raise this child on my own. Tell me, at that point, then, what does the department do?
In that situation, there's actually two types of cases. There's those cases where the individual would be on state assistance, TANF assistance. And there's those situations that would be non-TANF cases, where the individual basically is not receiving any assistance from the state but still wants our services to establish paternity. Both are handled the same. At that point in time, the individual would have to name who she believes the alleged father is. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering about.
Okay.
What if she says to you, I don't know, it could be Tom, Dick, or Harry?
Well, then we try to narrow it down the best that we can. And believe me, Senator Hewitt, we do see those situations. We also see situations where we get a lot of unknowns.
Sure you do. And I do. I think I do understand that, Mr. Chairman, if I might. Do you order genetic testing done on all three possible fathers?
We try to get, if she names three individual fathers, Senator Hewitt, we try to get what she believes is the most likely, if she can indicate who that person may be. Okay. If she names three fathers and we have any indications one may be more likely than the other, we will start with that individual. We run DNA testing. If that person is excluded, we go to the second.
How do you run DNA testing? You obviously contact one of these three.
Right. We contact, first of all, we'll start with one.
Okay. Do you have to have a court order to run a genetic testing on this possible father?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay, explain that to me.
If the individual wants a court order, we will obtain a court order. Okay, most of the time when the alleged father is contacted in these situations, they're going to want DNA testing to either confirm or disaffirm they're the father, because the 18 years of obligation responsibility that encompasses it. If they want us to establish a court order, we will get a court order directing DNA testing of the individuals. The department, also under welfare reform that was passed a few years back, has the authority administratively to enter administrative order, basically ordering the parties to appear for genetic testing. But we seldom do that. We will proceed to the circuit court, because we're probably going to have a circuit court case anyway, and obtain a circuit court order saying you shall appear for purpose of DNA testing. At that point in time, then, the individual, the mother and the child and the individual appear at a lab. At the current time, their blood is drawn. It's tested at Brookings. Generally, under our contract with Identity Genetics and Brookings, I think it's in the area, I can't state specifically, I think they have to have the results back to us within 20 days of receiving all samples. The actual testing done with reports back to us within 20 days. If that establishes a likelihood of 99 percentile or higher, essentially then our presumption under statute kicks in. We will advise the individual that it is 99 percentile or higher. We will then do one of two things. If he still wants to contest the matter, we will serve him with a notice of support debt, okay, to where he has the opportunity for hearing in circuit court to determine whether, you know, what the support obligation should be. If he does not contest it, the other option we have is we can do a stipulation and agreement prepared by the department, signed by him, the department representative, then confirmed with a circuit court order establishing what the obligation should be in that situation.
Mr. Chairman, it's at that point that the department also then wants the circuit court to adjudicate paternity?
And declare the primary custodial parent, correct. Okay. So that there is a custodian of that child within the court order.
Okay.
That's correct.
And who pays for, and I think this was your question, maybe not, who pays for the costs of the genetic testing? Not surely the Department of Social Services?
We will recover those costs. We recover those costs whenever we can from the responsible father as part of the judgment or order entered by the circuit court. That is a recoverable cost as part of the paternity action, yes.
Okay.
The current cost for your information is, for DNA testing under our contract, is $100 per person or $300 per case, assuming all three parties are tested. And we do attempt in all instances to recover that as a cost back from the responsible father as part of the proceedings.
Thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Are there any further questions of Mr. Brown? Any further questions? If not, thank you very much. Are there any further proponents of House Bill 1049? Any further proponents? If there are none, are there any opponents of House Bill 1049? Any opponents? If there are no opponents, we'll close to testimony, open to committee motion and discussion. Do I have a motion? Senator Bogue.
I'd move to pass.
Move to pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Dugard. Discussion. If there's no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Secretary will call the roll.
Bogue.
Aye.
Kehuick.
Aye.
Angie.
Aye.
Ketzel.
Aye.
Dugard.
Aye.
Whiting.
Aye.
6 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 1049 goes out with a due pass recommendation. Senator Hewitt, could you handle this on the floor? Okay, thank you. We'll proceed to...